And I thought I would give a series of talks on central elements of our practice and why they matter, particularly now that we're kind of thrown back into ourselves, our lives, our world in a way that seems new and perhaps disorienting and perhaps deeply challenging, when we cannot see clearly the road ahead. We might get turned around, seek stability, a path. So Soto Zen is one path among many. And so today I'm going to talk about Zazen. I was trying to think of the phrase that's being used now, and it's shelter in place. But in my own mind, I thought settle in place. And I thought, well, that's a pretty good description of Zazen. So I thought I would talk a little bit about why Zazen, why now? It occurred to me that sometimes Zen teachers dismiss the question, why sit Zazen? And they say, well, just do it, which is, you know, there's definite truth in that. In order to taste the practice, we must do the practice. Otherwise, it's like describing something like the taste of a plum or what rain feels like. It's not the same thing as actually experiencing it. We can get close. We say it's a downpour. It's like having a bucket of water on my head, or it's sweet, or things like that. But we cannot know the power of Zazen or its true nature without doing it. Any description of it are just words pointing to something, not the thing itself. But I think we will not even try it if we can't ask why. Perhaps we might. Some of us just kind of are drawn to it for no reason. Perhaps not. We have to start where we are, and where we are sometimes is to ask why. We have to take account of where we are, what our experience has been. The fact of the question of why may come up again and again and again. Sometimes we may sit a long sitting and we think, what am I doing here? Why am I doing this? So this is not just a beginner's question. This is a question that we live with for years, I think. So it's really important that we see it as a Dharma gate, that we see this question as a Dharma gate. Sometimes teachers say, Zen is good for nothing. Zazen is good for nothing. And that's also true. We can't corral Zazen into our usual notions. It does not fit into predetermined categories of meaning and worth. But to say it has no benefit is not true either. We can indeed grow in empathy and calmness and openness and insight into the world and our place in it with Zen practice. If we do Zazen, we know that it has a concrete benefit in our lives. We also know that there's something more, that any benefit is only one aspect of it. The way of Zazen does not map into our usual view of things. The way of Zazen is not getting from A to B. It doesn't fit into those formulas. It's a different route. It may seem illogical, but it's not. It has its own logic. It's the logic of realization. Dogen Senji said, what you think, one way or the other, is not a help for realization. Realization does not depend upon thoughts, but comes forth far beyond them. So we could drop the whole topic of why. We could just stop right there. But I think the question, why, is to be respected, honored even. It's a deep question. It's one that draws us into the inquiry, deep into an inquiry about what we value, about who we are, and that inquiry changes us from the inside out. It is not about coming up with an answer that changes us. It is the posture and the path of deeply responding that changes us. We all know there are many things to do in this world, and what we do tells us what we value, and in some way who we are. How do we spend our days? What do we give our life to? What guides our choices? How do we discern if they reflect our deepest values and wishes? Those questions point us to yet another question, I think. How do we even know what those deepest values are? And central to this, who knows that? We often experience ourselves as moving from one thing to the next, sometimes driven by the need to find a measure of security in this changing world, sometimes acting to shore up a sense of self-worth, competency, control. This is not a bad thing in the whole of our life. We have to take care of our needs. We have to be competent in our lives. We must take seriously the need for food and shelter and for wholesome, sustaining relationships, work and life. But if we reduce our lives to this, we miss something essential. We miss the depth of who we are. We miss the beauty of who we are. We limit our lives. We do not see clearly or well the lives that we have. We do not taste the lives we have and what we share with everyone. We do not settle and come to know what is most true about us in everything else. Dogen says, you can only see as far as your eye of practice can reach. And I would add, often that's not very far. Why is that? Why is that? I think it's because we do not recognize the vision of the eye of practice. I've been thinking about Koban Shino Roshi lately and spending some time as I can with his teachings, so I thought I'd share something he had to say about this. So this is Koban Shino Roshi's voice. To be born on this earth is to have the whole thing. From the beginning, there are precise distinctions between things, but the whole thing is yourself. That is how it started. When we become deeply involved in precise discrimination about things for a long time, we forget our original self. We don't lose our original nature, but we forget. To sit is to recover our original nature fully and to stay with it for a while. To get up from sitting is to gain excellent relationships with ourselves, with others, with many dilemmas, people, plants, birds, and jobs. It is not that the eye of practice, this is my voice again, it is not that the eye of practice is not there, is that it can be unfamiliar to us, so we do not see from that eye of practice. When it comes to our lives, we can be confused about what is important because we cannot see it. Or sometimes because we are using the wrong map or directions from Siri. We apply a map of downtown Santa Cruz to the vastness of the night sky and we wonder why it doesn't work. The map or Siri's guidance is not a problem. It's fine for the purpose it was designed for, getting from A to B in a certain place, but it is incomplete, and it will not serve when we go into the unknown. In a sense, we need a map that works, a guidance and the guidance of those that have gone before, something we can trust. As a gift of, for my 30th birthday, two good friends who were very experienced in hiking the Sierra High Country planned out a 10-day trek for us. Food, gear, everything. It was unforgettable. And one of the things that struck me was how they could find their way high above the tree line across rocky expanses where there was little to guide us. I would have been turned around in a minute, but I trusted my friends and their maps and their ability and followed along. And it was an enormous benefit to me. It was a great gift. So we ask, what do we trust? Who can we follow when we're facing the unknown? If we are frightened and have nothing to trust, I can guarantee you we will not go there. We will stay in the confines of what is known. Until that is, something comes along that wallops us, that tosses us, everything that we've relied on out the window. And we have to find a way to salvage what is valuable from what is known to us. We have to find new ways to expand our view and incorporate what we've known. This is where the eye of practice comes in. With the eye of practice, we can see more clearly. We can come to know the dark in a way that does not unseat us. And the one with the eye of practice can see it all. That seeing transforms who we are, who we experience ourselves to be, what we think we are doing with our lives, and how we live. That is why we sit zazen, to come to know this dimension of our being, to come to rest in this dimension of our being. We should not be embarrassed by our ambition. Kovenchino Roshi talks about our ambition, by our desire to come to know the depth of our being, nor to challenge ourselves to realize this fully in our everyday lives. This endeavor is not limited to some band of special people. It is not limited to those with particular personalities or talents or anything else we can think of. Dogen is very clear about this. Between the dull and the sharp-witted, there is no distinction. In a sense, we are all amateurs. Amateur is a really lovely word. It's often used to describe something less than, amateurish, not up to par. We tend to value the professional, that is, people who get paid to do something or somehow are designated as proficient. That's a good thing when we want to have surgery or build a bridge, but not for our spiritual lives. For that, we need the mind that welcomes each moment as a teacher. An amateur is someone who does things for the love of it. They can be a professional too, I suppose, but the key is they are pulled by love into the thing. Even when it's hard sometimes, or boring, or difficult, there is a sense of newness to it, a willingness to be taught, a beginner's mind. Each time new, each period of zazen new. When one knows this, when one knows the one who began to see with the eye of practice, you can trust going into the dark, the vastness of our being, not by assuming we know, but by a willingness to not know, to rest in the place in which we are taught by each moment who we are, what reality is. I have a favorite poem of Wendell Berry's that I've discussed before. He says, "To go into the dark with a light is to know the light. To know the dark. Go without sight, and find that the dark of bloom, that the dark blooms and sings, and is traveled by dark feet and dark wings." Let me say that again. To go into the dark with a light is to know light. To know the dark, go without sight, and find that the dark blooms and sings and is traveled by dark feet and dark wings. The eye of practice is not dependent on the light we bring. It sees dark and light and blooms and sings. So when we want to find our way in the dark, when we cannot see our usual light, we must cultivate a new way. We must find what we trust and follow it. And we can catch a glimpse then. Catch a glimpse. See with the eye of practice for a moment. This changes us. It requires us to pay attention. Our lives readjust to that which guides us. We may have to sacrifice something, but that sacrifice is something that should be shed anyway. Maybe it means we pull ourselves away from the news. Maybe it means we silence our phones. Maybe we get up a bit early. Maybe we make different choices. But each time we do that, we are affirming a way of life that gives life. We are affirming our inmost request and following it. We are allowing ourselves to be buoyed up, shaped, and led by this way of life. Who we are becomes apparent to us, and we cherish it with all beings. We become familiar with what is beneath the why we sit zazen. I want to make a point to say that it does not matter, in a sense, how long we sit, really. What matters is that we do it. Sit for 10 minutes before you start your work of the day. Take a break and sit. Working at home, as many of us do, we can do that in a way maybe we can't otherwise. If you're out for a walk, do walking meditation. You might not want to do slow kinhin, as that may draw attention to you, unless you have a pink umbrella and you're walking on Pacific Avenue. But simply walking will do it. Let me read Kobenchino's quote again. To be born on this earth is to have the whole thing. From the beginning, there are precise distinctions between things, but the whole thing is yourself. That is how it started. When we become deeply involved in precise discrimination between things for a long time, we forget our original self. We don't lose our original self, our original nature, but we forget it. To sit is to recover our original nature fully and to stay with it for a while. To get up from sitting is to gain excellent relationships with ourselves, many dilemmas, people, plants, birds, and jobs. This is one way to say why we sit zazen. To live well, to live with all beings, to remember who we are, to transform who we are, and to express that in our day-to-day activities. But you should inquire yourself deeply. Why do you sit zazen? Why do you sit zazen? Ask that question. Respond to that question. If someone asks you why you sit zazen, you might say, good question. Maybe you say, so I can see in the dark. Maybe you say, because I get confused and I want to see clearly. Maybe you say, so I can taste the truth of the Tathagata's, Buddha's words. Maybe you say, today I don't know why, but I'm sitting to find out. Each time we sit down is a new time, a new moment. And the one who knows the truth of zazen takes shape in our lives. That one is alive. So I suggest, go ahead, ask why. Make it a deeply personal question, your question. Why bother? Why sit here? In this way, you take full responsibility for your life and your depths and your aspirations and your vigor and your courage. This is especially important right now. Do not use your usual mind to answer the question why. Just keep asking and sit zazen to find out the answer firsthand. Move into your life. Sit still, or at least make the effort to sit still, and you will begin to know zazen from the inside. In this way, the question why turns into what? Why turns into what? And what is endlessly fruitful? Sit zazen. Sit daily. Sit when you can. Where you can. Sit in community, if at all possible. But also sit on your own. Sitting in community supports us and teaches us something crucial about who we are and what practice is. But sitting on your own builds your bones of dedication. You don't just have an exoskeleton of commitment determined by a schedule. Find your own inner motivation, your own taste of your inner desire. Talk to Shinshu and I about it. As we settle in place, we shelter in place. So we ask good questions about who we are and how we live. We learn to come to know firsthand who we are. We see with the eyes of practice, discern what is real to us and all beings. In this way, we come to know what is most deep, what is true for all life, beyond our limited ideas. And we can then live, as Chino Roshi says, we can have excellent relationships. We can live with creativity and generosity and stability in these difficult times. So I'd like to close with one more quote from Koban Chino Roshi. He says, "Too much talk about zazen is not so good for you. It is impossible to teach the meaning of sitting. Until you really experience it and confirm it by yourself, you cannot believe it. It has tremendous depth. And year after year, this gorgeous world of Shikantaza appears. It is up to you to cultivate it, because you are Buddhas yourself. You can sit."